Levi, come up here. And Mr. Matthew and Miss Abigail, come up here and help me out just for a second. I told y'all that we were going to do something that I don't remember ever doing here. So step down in front over here. Okay. There you go, right down here. First one, Levi, come right here for a second. There you go, Miss Abby, come right over here. All right, now get right here in the middle, and you remember what I told you? No, you're going to be first. I'm sorry. I'm confusing it all. Okay, you remember what I told you? All right. Y'all see if you can guess what she's trying to demonstrate. What is that? A heartbeat. A beating heart. Good job. Good job. All right. You can go sit down. All right. Now, Mr. Matthew, what you going to do? Lifting weights. Excellent. Strong man. All right, buddy, good job. They got yours right off. All right. Mr. Levi. There you go. A sword. All right. Thank you, Levi. Y'all are too good at this. Right, so let's see here. A beating heart. So, Ms. DeWanna, I'm gonna seek out a little bit of your medical technology here. If you found somebody laying on the floor, and you potentially are gonna have to do CPR, what are you looking for?
Breathing and
heartbeat. Are they breathing, and is their heart beating? Some signs of circulation, all right? That's the first thing you look for. Because if you got that, they're what? They're alive. They're living. We've got hope for getting them some more help, all right? Now, a guy that lifts weights, what kind of synonymous with that? You would think they're powerful or strong, right? All right, good. Now, how about a sword? What do we know about a sword?
Used to protect.
Used to protect, all right. But if I was going to use it to protect, what would be some qualities that I would want?
Sharp.
I want it to be sharp, yeah. I like it. I want to be the first one to mine out. And then another item here, and these are descriptions of what the Bible describes itself to be. Living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So, Miss Morgan, we're looking at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. I may keep you a little busy, but I'm gonna try and move through this. Excellent. For the Word of God is quick, powerful. Quick means alive, powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ooh, there's a different part of the heart. A discerner of its thoughts and intents. So we're going to look at some of these things here. So first off, we say that it's alive. So I got some stuff here. I got several things that are goodies. Some of you might recognize the packaging on this one. And some of you might recognize that. What do we got here? Some seeds, right? And them seeds are dry and dead for all practical purposes. But what would happen if I took those seeds and I put them around some moisture? wouldn't be long, they'd sprout. They'd come alive. Okay? God has created His Word to come alive in our hearts. When you mix God's Word with the power of the Holy Spirit, it comes alive and changes us. Remember what Brother Dale said a while ago? Love me and save me and change me. Change me to be more like who? Jesus, God, God's Son. How do we know the Bible is alive? Morgan, Psalm 119, verse 89. Oh, okay, that first word threw me for a curve. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. It endures forever. Now, how many of you have been around big rocks? Mountains? Do they endure forever? Endure for a long time, but not forever. But God's Word is alive and endures forever. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I'll read that one real quick for you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. What happened when God breathed in Adam? He came alive. It was given through the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In the parable of the sower, the seed is the Word of God. It comes alive when it reaches good soil. Now, what does that mean, good soil? Soil that's been prepared, all right? Soil that isn't full of rocks. Soil that dug up, softened up, not hard. Soil that's doesn't have, it's not full of weeds. Soil that is protected from the fowls. That's the way our hearts need to be. They need to be good soil. Protected. Prepared. God's Word gives us life. Psalm chapter 119, verse 50. 119 verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Once again, quickened means given me life. We need to feed on God's word daily to maintain ourselves spiritually strong. These are not just words on a page. They are life-giving words that helps us grow in Jesus, or in Christ. All right? So it's alive. God's Word is also powerful. How is God's Word powerful? Name some things that you think are powerful. Elephant. Okay, good. I'd hate for one to be pushing on me and I'm up against the wall. How about, and there's a picture of me in front of a really big bulldozer. And I'm reaching up and I can't reach the top of the blade, and it's really wide. Pushing a mountain of coal every time it moves. Yeah. Big old, huh? Hurricane. Ooh, there you go. Now you're starting to think about stuff that's really powerful. A gorilla. I'd hate to meet one, that's for sure. Very good. God's word has power. It has the power to change a life. Another word for power here is active. Active. That means that it accomplishes what it is meant to do. It does not matter how old you are, if you listen to the word of God, it will change you. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." If you want to get closer to God and what God's will is, what's it say here? It does what I send it to do, and it accomplishes what I send it to do. If you want to get closer to God's will, get closer to God's word. They go hand in hand. The most powerful thing that I've ever seen God's word do is I've seen it soften hard-hearted men and women who were doing their best to mess their lives up in all sorts of selfish desires and practices and change them into good Christians who loved and served the Lord. There's nothing more powerful, folks. Nothing more powerful. All right? So it's alive, it's powerful, and it's sharp. It says sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, this bag ain't big enough to have a two-edged sword in it. So I'm going to have to ask you to use your imagination a little bit and imagine that's about 3 feet long and the handle's about that long. But it is sharp. Miss Sandra said I couldn't do a cucumber. She didn't want me to waste it. It's sharp. When applied correctly, it goes straight to the point. It also says that it's a two-edged sword, right? Sharp on this side, and it's sharp on that side. Flip it over. Now, I know y'all want to see me chop the end of that off, but I ain't going to do it. It's going to make too big a mess. Dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. What does that mean? First of all, it penetrates our heart. It cuts deep into our soul to change us. When we listen to what God's word says, then it will change us. How does it change us? It cuts out the bad stuff. It shows us where the bad stuff is. And he says, let go of it. Let me take care of it. When we listen to God's word, then it will change us. God's word helps us not to sin. Psalm 119, verse 11, you probably already know that. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. The sword is part of the armor of God to help us fight off the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the last part of it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's word is the only way to effectively fight the enemy of Satan. What did Christ use when he was being tempted? The word of God. So, the word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharp, and it's discerning. How does God's word discern our heart? What does the word discern mean? Well, here it means to become aware of or figure out something or to judge something. See, the word of God judges our thoughts. And it judges our intentions. Who's the easiest person on the face of the earth to lie to? Not my sister. No. Me. I'm the easiest one to lie to. Because nobody knows what I'm thinking. Now, if you lie to yourself enough, people can tell you're lying. And don't know exactly what you're lying about, but eventually it starts showing. He uses his word to point out those things in our hearts so that he can deal with them. You see, we can lie to ourselves, but we can't lie to God. When the Bible reveals something to us, we need to have our ears listen and our lives changed. If the Bible does not change us, then we're not listening with our heart. It's like taking a shower. When you were born, you were kind of messy. They rinsed you off and you never took another bath, right? No, you got to take a bath all the time. Why? Because you're out here in the world, you're getting dirty. You got to take a bath. Well, God's word is what God uses us to wash us on the inside. You see, we're out here in the world, and the world affects our spirit. God's word quickens and renews our spirit. It helps us get through all the bad, washes us. We don't have to get saved again, but we do have to wash our feet. We need it every day to cleanse us and renew us and change us into the image of God's Son. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, that you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you accomplish that? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable. Yeah. Be not conformed to the world. How do you accomplish that? How does he change it? How does he change your mind? With his word. You just read it and it changes it, right? Oh, I got to do more than just read it. What do I have to do? Meditate on it. And come to the conclusion that, you know, that's right. I'm going to use that. I can have a knife in a scabbard and carry it around and never take it out, and it ain't never going to be do me any good. It's a tool. God's Word is a tool to change your life. But if you don't ever take it out of the scabbard, if you don't ever take it out of the cover, if you just read it and don't think about it, learn how to use it, it don't ever do you any good. You have the best tool in the world. If you don't know how to use it, it don't do anybody any good. Makes a real nice, I like that. Makes a real nice paperweight. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 now. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. What does that mean? He understands everything there is about you. Now, folks, but all things are naked and open under the eyes. Folks, if we ain't got no clothes on, we ain't hiding nothing. You're not going to hide anything from God. Don't try. Let Him change you into what He ought to be, what you ought to be. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, did they hide? But only after what? Only after they had some sin to hide. Folks, if we, me included, if we do our best to use God's Word in our lives and let it show us, let God show us what's wrong, what He wants to change, it'll change us. And the only time we fear God is when we got something to hide. God says, come boldly before the throne of grace. He wants us to fear Him, but He wants our respect. He doesn't want us to cower from Him, because He loves us. We know He loves us. Everybody bow. God's Word is amazing. It is unlike any book in the world, because it is not just a book. It's God's words. Words that He wants us to know. It has the power to change us from the inside out. We just have to get in it. We have to make time to read it and meditate.